Lord, once again, we thank you for this day. Lord, what a privilege and an honor and a joy it is to gather in your name. Lord, we want to bring honor to your name. We want to bring joy to your heart. Lord, bless us this morning, please. Open our hearts to receive your word. Open our lives, Lord, to fully receive you. Yes, we surrender all to you. We give ourselves to you. Lord, you're the only way. The only way. Open up heaven for us this morning, please. Pour out your spirit and your love and fill this place with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to be in Numbers 22. Proverbs 14, 12 and 16, 25. You probably figured that out when we read it, that it's exactly the same verse when we read it earlier. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 12, 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Proverbs 14, 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Proverbs 12, 28, in the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. Years ago, probably about 30 years ago now, I was at a Bible study group class, and someone asked a question. They said, if you could talk to anybody in the Bible, not Jesus, but anybody besides Jesus in the Bible, who would it be? I didn't hesitate with my answer. You know what I said? Balaam's donkey. That's where we're going today. We're going to talk about God's ways versus our ways. What are the ways of man? What are the ways of God? Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Numbers chapter 22. I like this story. I see a lot of myself in here, actually. Maybe we all should. Maybe we all do. There was a man named Balaam. He was a prophet. He'd been given a gift from God. What he did with that gift is, well, we'll talk about that in a little bit. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are around it, around about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor in Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that we may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand, and they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. So far, so good, right? He's going to seek the Lord to find out what the Lord wants him to do. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, behold, there's a people come out of Egypt, which covers the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. That's God's directive will. That's what he wanted. That's what he expected. That's what he... Anyway. Verse 13, and Balaam rose up early in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore, I pray you, tarry you also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. Hadn't God already told him? But he's going to ask again. You ever done that? You didn't like the answer, what God was telling you, so you keep asking? We don't do that, do we? And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt do. This is God's permissive will. Or it may be an opportunity for God to test Balaam. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. How did God feel about that? We're going to find out in the next verse. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. Balaam didn't see it. Balaam was blinded. In total disobedience to God, he was blinded. He didn't see it. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path in the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in the narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now would I kill thee. You know, it's amazing that the donkey spoke. But what really amazes me is Balaam's reaction to it. It's like an everyday occurrence. How come you did that? Well, if I had a, I'd do it again even worse if I had the opportunity, because you're not doing what I want you to. And the ass said unto Balaam, am I not thine ass, whom thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. What do you think he was thinking? Oops. Bowed his head and fell flat on his face. You know, it's funny. I've got a Bible at home that's a very literal translation of the King James. And what it says is he literally fell on his nostrils. That's about as far on your face as you can fall, isn't it? And the angel Lord said unto him, therefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times. Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times, unless she had turned from me. Surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. If it displeases thee? Doesn't it seem very obvious that his way is, what part of your way is perverse before me? Doesn't he understand? Well, if you don't really want me to go, I won't go. Just tell me. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. So he went, and several times, they Balak took him up to the top of a mountain, looked out over the children of Israel, and he... Balaam couldn't curse him. He blessed him. And Balak got mad. So, well, let me take you over here. So he did it again. And he blessed him instead of cursing him. And several times that happened. But he did say, only what the Lord tells me to say can I say. So he did all right after all, didn't he? Actually, he didn't. 2 Peter 2:15 talks about the way of Balaam. It says in 2 Peter 2:15, which hath forsaken the right way and has gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. The way of Balaam. He put his God-given gift up for sale to the highest bidder. He was willing to sell it. Jude 1:11 talks about the error of Balaam. It says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. The heir of Balaam was that he reasoned that a holy God had no choice but to curse sinful Israel. Romans 3:26 says, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. What does that have to do with it? God can justify who he wants to justify. Numbers 23:21, one of the prophecies that Balaam spoke, one of the blessings, was talking about God. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. Why didn't he see iniquity in Israel? The same reason he doesn't see iniquity in us, if we're saved. Because when he looks at us, when he looked at them, he saw the blood of the Lamb. All he saw was the blood of the Lamb. So what does he see when he looks at us? Like I said, if we're saved, he sees the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 2:14, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast before them, thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. The doctrine of Balaam, since he couldn't curse that which God had blessed, he instructed Moab and Midian how to corrupt them. Numbers 25:1-3, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. If you can't beat them, join them. Join yourself to them. So what did God do? God told Moses to go to war with them. Numbers 31:1-2, and also 6-8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites. Afterwards shalt thou be gathered into the people. And Moses spoke against the people, saying, arm some of yourselves into the war, and let them go against the Midianites and avenge the Lord of Midian. And Moses sent them to the war, 1,000 of every tribe, them and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, to the war with the holy instruments and the trumpets to blow in his hand. And they warred against the Midianites as the Lord commanded Moses, and they slew all the males. And they slew the kings of Midian beside the rest of them that were slain, namely Evi and Rechem and Zur and Hur and Reba, 5 kings of Midian. Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. That sword was still in the angel of the Lord's hand, wasn't it? Does anybody not know who the angel of the Lord is in the Old Testament? That's a pre-incarnation of Jesus Christ before he was born of a virgin. What was the angel of the Lord holding in his hand when he met up with Balaam on the road? The sword. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Do we find that out the hard way? A lot of times we do. Not to this extreme, usually. What lesson can we learn from this? Was Israel perfect? They complained a lot, didn't they? They made God mad a lot. He allowed them to, as Joyce Myers would say, go around that mountain for 40 years. 11-day journey took 40 years. but he spared them because of the blood. How about us? You may think you're mostly good and deserving of heaven, or that you deserve it by doing a lot of good works, but that's the way of man, isn't it? The way of God says there's one way only. Hebrews 9:22 says that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. One way. One way. Father, if there's any other way this can be done, take this cup from me. But your will be done, not mine. Was there any other way? Jesus knew that. I believe he said that so it'd be recorded so that we could read it and we would know with a certainty that there's only one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. Because if there'd been any other way, I'm sure that Jesus would have chosen that, wouldn't he? But he knew. There's one more prophecy from Balaam I want to share, and I'm going to close with it. In Numbers 24:17-19, Balaam said what God showed him. He said, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. And Edom shall be a possession, Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. Who's he seen? He's seeing the Messiah. He's seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we can have good intentions. We can try to do everything right. But they say the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Or we could say it's the way of man. Does God know everything we're going to do? He does. He knew everything you were going to do before you were born. He knew everything you were going to do 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ went to the cross to die on that cross for you. He could have looked at us and said, they're not worth it. But for some reason, he thinks we are. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the examples that we're supposed to learn for in the Old Testament, Lord. And in the New Testament. I thank you, Lord, that you lay it all there out before us, that we would know the truth. Lord, help us to always seek your ways that are higher than our ways. Help us, Lord, to question our ways. Help us to make sure that our ways line up with your ways, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, bless your people this morning, please. Lord, keep us close to you. Keep us strong in our faith and in our commitment to you. Lord, the enemy stepping up his attack. But your word says when the enemy comes in with a flood, the Lord will raise a banner, a standard. We need your help, Lord. Because times are getting darker. The enemy knows his time is short. So he's angrier. Lord, I pray for your protection on your people. I pray for your protection on this property, on this ministry. Lord, help us to only do the things that please you. And help us, Lord, to stay focused on you. Go with us today, Lord, and bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming. That concludes our service. But if there's anybody here that's never received Jesus Christ, your Savior, come talk to me. Come talk to me. Don't leave this building without Jesus.